This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Samuel Basayo launches a high fly ball, might have a home run here. Heading back is Baker to roll, runs out of room, bye-bye. First of the year for the Orioles' number one prospect, Samuel Basayo.
2-1 pitch is driven deep to left center. Back on it is Simpson, but he'll watch it go. A game-tying two-run homer for Kobe Mayo, and we're all scored at two here in the third.
Let's head down on the farm really quickly, and Sam Basayo getting off to a quick start in the minor leagues, and then Norfolk and Kobe Mayo playing a little first, playing a little third.
Yeah, I find it odd that Mayo has played as many games at third as he has at first. I don't know what they're trying to prove or who they're trying to fool with that. The kid should be on the right side of the diamond exclusively, or in right field. Basayo not catching yet. Remember, he's still dealing with an injury from the preseason, from spring training. But he's DH twice. He's already hit a monster home run. I'll be interested to see when he can start playing first base and when he can start catching. And as we know, Dylan Carlson is already up from the farm.
For a couple days.
Right, until Gunnar comes back. And Dylan Carlson has options. And Dylan Carlson's a switch hitter, and he was once a top prospect. But it does sort of beg the question about how they fill this Kowser hole. And that's not going to be anybody from the farm long term. And I do wonder, yes, it's not a long absence for Gunnar, but it sounded like they were open to other people leading off a little bit to try to get Gunnar maybe a little further back in the lineup to do a little more damage. Westberg against lefties, why would you change that?
No.
But would you, with the way Cedric Mullins is swinging the bat, and with Gunnar, let's face it, he's only played a couple games down there, and Gunnar had nothing close to a regular spring training. Would you bat Cedric leadoff against righties for a while and see how that goes?
I'm all for it. With how he's playing, and I get the small sample size, we've only seen a handful of games, but we heard the skipper yesterday talk about it. When Cedric Mullins is going good, like he is going right now, it just is such a massive boost to this lineup. And when he has that type of pop, and we know that he can steal a base, we know that he can lay a bunt down, and he was really dynamic as a leadoff hitter a couple of years ago when he had that real runway with it, but I would love to see it against righties.
Before the start of the season, I don't know that I'd feel this way, but the way he looks like he's seeing the ball at the plate right now, I am all for it. And I've always been for moving Gunnar down a little bit in the lineup anyway, because I want him to be a guy that drives in runs. Like, he's their best run producer. So, yeah, I like that idea.
They would never bat Cedric 2, 3, or 4.
No.
So the only way he's going to get more looks at pitchers and more at-bats right now would be the leadoff spot. And I would also say, and we've chronicled this over the years, they have a proclivity to bring guys back really, really fast. Like Jorge Mateo. Does he look like he's really ready to play Major League Baseball right now?
No.
So it stands to reason that same thing could be true with Gunnar. So, look, I'm not saying that him batting two wouldn't put him in positions where you'd like him to be a little more tuned up also. But let somebody else be the first guy to work these pitchers a little bit. Maybe he relaxes a little bit if Cedric's on base and just slaps the ball the other way, keeps the chain moving. And we all think look, Cedric is going to lead the major leagues in RBIs, right? He and Judge have 10 RBIs right now. Like, yeah. That's not going to continue. But, like, we all think Gunnar batting two or three with a solid leadoff guy in front of him makes the whole team better.
How many leadoff home runs did they hit last year? What was it, 9, 10, maybe even more than that to start games? Have someone on base? Yes. You'll take that over the solo shots.
Yeah, I'm going to be really interested to see how that works itself out. Now, the interesting thing, obviously, is they've got one more game before Gunnar comes back from the farm. And that's against Garrett Crochet, one of the nastiest lefties in the league, who just signed a long-term extension with Boston. They traded for a pitcher and then actually signed him.
Yeah, it's weird how
that
works.
So they don't feel so bad about giving up Kyle Teal and all those future White Sox quality players.
You mean you can extend guys you trade for?
I mean, that would be like, it'd be, probably be better than renting them.
Yeah, I didn't know you could do that.
Especially if you have no starting pitching to begin with. Yeah. You might want to have somebody signed beyond 2025. But who are we to tell them how to run their baseball team? But that would be a tough ask for Cedric Mullins leading off tomorrow. So we obviously issue that caveat. How big of a deal do we think Colton Cowser's absence is?
I think it's big.
Absolutely.
It's big. I think that I thought he was primed for a better season than he had a year ago, a season that let's face it, he put up some nice numbers but struggled at times. But the rookie year, I thought it was very good, and I expected more from him this year, and now you're missing that guy, and you're going to miss him for 2 months. So, yeah, I think it's a big deal. He was expected to be an everyday player for them.
From a defensive perspective, it's massive. From a power hitting perspective, because even with the peaks and valleys, he still would hit. What, he finished with 24 home runs last year? That's a big loss there. His ability to run, whether it's going first to third or stealing a bag, that is missing as well. It's a big loss. But this is the runway for Heston Kjerstad.
Well, it has to be. And if it's not, then they're telling you what they really think of Heston Kjerstad, in which case he should have already been dealt before you continue to devalue him. I'll say this about Cowser. It's a huge loss, and where I'm most worried about is how it affects him mentally, because he's such a streaky player, and his confidence ebbs and flows. And he looked like he was going to get off to a really good start. And batting him leadoff looked like a smart move, and it was bringing out quality at-bat. Even when he struck out, he'd see five or six pitches. Like, he'd get a look at the whole repertoire of the pitcher. He's obviously made some gains against off-speed stuff. We'll have to see over time, larger sample size, if that holds. But I feel like after last season ended in such embarrassing fashion, like, him getting off to a really solid start and looking like a more consistent major leaguer would have been big for him. And now, like, it's a weird way to get hurt. And if they don't do well without him, I think he's going to take it personally. And if they do well without him, I think it's going to kind of be a little weird. And a hand is easily aggravated. I'll say it again. They seem to want to get guys back as soon as bleeping possible, which doesn't always serve them or the team the best way. And, like, It's an awful time in the year to get hurt, because you didn't really do enough to really know where you were, but he certainly looked like he was in good form. So him being so young and the timing of this right after having last year and with an injury gives me a little pause.
You mentioned Kjerstad, and I wanted to hit you with an interesting hypothetical. Assuming that Kjerstad doesn't get hurt, when Gunnar comes back Thursday.
Oh, is he going down?
Is he going down? Because
he's got options.
Let's think about it. It's three guys. It's Luriano, it's Mateo, and it's Kjerstad. And only one of those three guys has options.
Oh, Heston was going down.
Yeah, so like you talk about a kid's confidence.
If you give away a guy who can play shortstop and center field for nothing after whining about how your team sucked without him last year, then you're an idiot. They just threw Luriano to get $5 million like 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Come on.
So it's Kjerstad.
It was Heston.
Yeah.
Which they told you. They told you by how they handled him in Toronto.
Yeah.
Because, well, what happens if we give him, what happens if we play him a lot and he hits a bunch of home runs? Then how the hell are we going to sell that? So let's just bury him, because we like to do that anyway. Yeah. And we want, hey, O'Neill's hit opening day home run 5 straight years or 6 straight years, whatever it was. And then when we do send him off the bench, Let's have him face their best pitcher if I have not really
thrown
a bat. And
that's where it gets back to the human element. Can you imagine where he would be at mentally getting
sent down? Oh, he's back
in
Norfolk.
He'd be in Norfolk talking to his boy, like, what is going on?
That's my point. I remember having multiple down on the farm segments last year when Kerstad was back there, and you were saying how he looked disinterested at times.
Oh, it was. I'm just going to swing at everything. Like, what's the difference? Let me see if I can hit this 500 feet.
Yeah. The Couser injury saved his roster spot. He's the one guy with options.
Oh, no, it was him.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a question.
No. But it's something that we never got to, and now we don't have to get to because Couser's going to miss 2 months.
These things have a way of working themselves out.
I've heard that before.
Just leave it up to the baseball gods.
Baseball gods just saved Heston Kerstad as a major leaguer. Hey, coming up next, we're going to switch to Ravens. By the way, Mike Bordick's going to join us at 3 o'clock, talk some Orioles with him. Scott Braun at 3:30, talking Orioles Major League Baseball with him. And don't worry, we'll get back to the news of the day, which is Buzz Williams, the next head basketball coach at the University of Maryland. But John Harbaugh spoke at the NFL meetings yesterday. What did he have to say? You'll hear from him next.